Hello, this is Ross here at Teacher Toolkit, and this is my own Audible guide, not officially Audible, just me at home with all my mistakes, just recording the introduction to the Teacher Toolkit guide to questioning. And I've got a little bit of a croaky throat. I've been on the back to school rush inset and just nurturing a little cough. So apologies in advance, but here's just four or five pages of the beginning of the book just to let you know why I've tackled a very specific focus in our classrooms. Introduction: what makes a great question for the classroom? What is questioning? Why do we question? As humans, we ask other people questions every day. Asking questions helps us to understand one another. Posing them allows us to gather more information and helps us to process the world around us. In our personal lives, we probably do this subconsciously, yet in the classroom, posing key questions is a conscious decision that teachers make. One of the earliest historical accounts of questioning used in the education process can be traced back to Socrates. This historical account describes a process that involves asking questions to help reflect and think critically about the subject. The account argues that questioning may be the most frequently used instructional intervention. So let us begin with the most important definition of the word question itself. What does it mean? Where did it originate? According to the Cambridge Dictionary, the word question is defined as a sentence or phrase used to find out information. Since the turn of the century, little disagreement has existed concerning the definition of questions. They are concerned with information seeking and stimulate some kind of mental activity or thinking. One of the first systematic reviews into questioning in the first half of the 20th century found that teacher questions and student answers occupied approximately 80% of the average school day. Now, given the period, one reference draws upon the observations of the school principal, who estimated that teacher activity was 85%, concluding that the reason why our pupils gain so little in intellectual power is because our teachers do the intellectual work. So questioning is a complex linguistic tool, which helps to assess learning at various levels. Number one, functional, the particular mental or emotional capacities involved. Number two, dynamic, whether the question encourages exploration and diverse perspectives or restricts options. Number three, difficulty, relates to the level of intricacy and the extent of challenge presented to the student. Four, interest, which describes the level of engagement and attentiveness sparked in the student. And finally, five, feasibility, reflects the student's capability to comprehend the question effectively. So that's five: functional, dynamic, difficulty, interest, and feasibility. Drawing from the above definitions, when teachers pose a question, that question should be designed to find information with quality. Some open and closed questions seek to find the correct answer, yet when using more analytical and evaluative responses, teachers naturally draw out more information from students by adding in more questions for clarity. This is something that we can explore together. Subheading: teachers' questions. As a teacher, you're likely to ask as many as 300 to 400 questions daily. Now, simple calculations estimate that this number alone divided by 5 daily lessons equates to approximately 60 questions every lesson. Given that most teachers teach approximately 5 lessons a day across 190 days in any academic year, even if the estimate was reduced by a third, you could be posing up to 19,000 questions or more every academic year. Now, when you take a moment to digest this phenomenal figure, your thoughts may turn towards teacher training. Suppose that question is one of the most frequently used teacher instructional techniques. Why do we not spend more time developing this strategy during our formative years and throughout our teacher training sessions in our schools and colleges? A literature review on questioning techniques by Buckingham and Hill aimed to discover why certain questions encourage deeper thinking and elicit fuller responses. The study suggests that questioning is one of the basic techniques teachers can use to stimulate thinking, learning, and class participation. Thankfully, the research explains the complex breadth and depth of effective questioning, quite the opposite of a basic technique. And the research also concludes that teachers must involve students more actively in their own learning, suggesting that students should be taught to ask questions as well as answer them. This strengthens the need for teachers to not only pose questions, but also to teach students how to process their thinking and how to respond. Effective teaching requires carefully planned questions, as well as the ability to respond in the moment to a wide range of scenarios. If we help all students to develop self-study, self-regulation, and metacognition skills, they're just as important to the learning process as they are to the teaching process. As teachers, we deliberately ask students numerous questions on an hourly basis. Many of them are conversational, ad hoc, and subconscious. Occasionally, one or two are explicit and designed to draw out misconceptions, check for understanding, inspire, or hold individual students to account. Not all questions may be effective, lead to action, or to a correct response. Some of the questions that a teacher might ask could be poorly framed, mistimed, or accidentally provocative. As a result, this can lead to dismissive and nonverbal responses or maybe aggressive behavior, which is counterintuitive to a teacher's moral purpose. For example, if we pitch a question wrongly, it could lead to a student to respond in a way that we did not intend or frame their thinking in such a way that it leads to an incorrect answer or a demotivation on their part. Whether in the conversational moment or planned on paper, question design is important to all of us if we seek to achieve the information that we hope from posing the question in the first place. For teachers, question design is essential. For example, don't know responses result from a poor question design. So there are copious influences and scenarios we need to consider, and I'll discuss this wide range of circumstances throughout the whole book, alongside some practical techniques for teachers to use to work more consciously and efficiently. Posing questions must be explicitly taught to all teachers. Any questions that teachers consciously decide to ask among the hundreds of other tasks they do in the classroom can likely be better thought through and better designed with little conscious effort. Effective questioning stems from secure subject knowledge, strong curriculum planning, effective instruction, and a secure grasp of how learning happens. So let's start with this question. How many questions do you think I've posed throughout this entire book? Now, I'm just going to, at my desk here, make a note to tell you the answer once I finish this short introduction recording. So here's the question. How many questions do you think I've posed through the entire book, a book on questioning? So what makes a good or a bad question? Are both these questions good examples? They might be good examples of good questions, but context, definition, and environmental influence are always important aspects to consider. However, given that you're reading or at least here listening to a book about teaching and that this book is for teachers, leaders, or coaches, we can now get a little closer to better definitions about some of the questions I've just posed. So let's start with why write this book. Now, I wanted to write this book for two reasons. Firstly, how we can ask better questions in our personal lives. So the various techniques I've used in my own career with my family, with people around me, how I can hold other people to account, how to support and challenge people around us, whether it's family, politicians, loved ones, or people we meet in our day-to-day work. Through the use of effective questioning, we can unravel others' beliefs and we can help to develop our minds, understand what our own beliefs are, and process any developing concepts and ideas, as well as getting to know ourselves a little better overall. Now, secondly, and most importantly for this recording, is my aim is to provide you as a teacher with a wide range of questioning techniques so that you can learn one or two of them at a deep and meaningful level. To use question techniques more explicitly to a point of automaticity. Now, all teachers encounter some of the most popular question strategies during their teacher training days, often from blogs or social media videos, but rarely are we exposed to the research on effective questioning or are offered walkthrough scenarios and explanations. And this is what I want to do in this book. I want to go one step further with you to explain some of the most popular strategies, why and how they work, and what you can do to embed them into your practice. In doing so, your teaching will become highly effective, and as a byproduct, you will have more meaningful conversations with people in your personal and working life. The ability to ask brilliant questions not only rests with the knowledge acquisition that you possess and your ability to process information in the moment, but it also depends on the art of listening and how you respond. Context matters, so I will provide you with a wide range of scenarios to help you understand how to utilize questions in many situations in order to draw specific responses, and whether this is in a high challenge scenario or in a relaxing situation. As a result, some of these examples I provide, you'll be presented in script form, like reading the opening scene of a movie, for example. So pretty straightforward how to do. Now, subheading the research process, I'm keen to follow the traditions of my previous books, Just Great Teaching and The Teacher Toolkit Guide to Memory. So as part of the design construction to this book, I've gathered observational research from my extensive social media network of teachers to gather their views on questioning in the classroom. And at the time of writing, over 300 teachers responded, providing me with over 14,000 pieces of data. Now, that's a good proportion of teachers reported that they don't have much confidence in the data that I've analyzed when it comes to the historical or research origins of effective questioning. There were almost no areas of question theory where teachers reported they were very confident. In open-ended responses to questions about their confidence, one teacher said, "Through my teacher training, I engage with research, but I'm unclear on how to be an effective questioner myself." With another teacher saying, "Staff have little awareness of metacognition currently, and this is being addressed, but I believe this is the fundamental knowledge required for successful question." And what I see on my travels, this is pretty much what I see schools now giving their teachers exposure to: the science of learning. How does learning happen? Now, I'm recording this live without any kind of practice, so there's a QR code at this section of the book, so I will include that so you can take part in the research in this audio download. In my long life as a school leader, I soon learned that definitions are critical. In the context of questioning, specificity is essential to help draw conclusions. So at its most basic definition, specificity means that we want an answer when we ask a question. When we pose a specific question, we hope that it elicits a specific answer, one that is the right answer, or at least a better one than the previously one provided. And if we ask a bad question, like I said before, we can run around in circles, develop some demotivation or some poor behavior in our students, or we need to ask for further clarification and get frustrated. So put simply, effective questioning helps you to get the information back that you want or need to know much quicker. Now, if we add 30 students into the mix, you can see why asking questions is a critical day-to-day necessity for all teachers who work on their feet 5 or 6 lessons a day. The more data that a teacher can gather in that moment, the more effectively they can question. This reinforces why online assessment platforms have allowed teachers to reduce their marking, evaluate student responses, and then plug in interventions there and then. In an EdTech era, retrieval type software can make recommendations. The teacher in the classroom who understands the context can translate online findings and then share them with their students. Now, we haven't reached this high level of efficiency with questioning, although there are many evolving products on the market at the time of writing. But I think there's one problem with online software that we should consider, which is the fact that it has not yet reached the ability to replicate or match many of the solutions currently provided in our schools. Very few pieces of software consider the individual working memory or cognitive ability of the students sitting in front of them. And this is why we will always need a teacher to translate any data. I guess just one ad hoc comment I'll add here. When we think about multiple choice questioning that we pose to our students, online software is great at generating questions, which is brilliant for reducing teacher workload. But when we think about what the research says on multiple choice questions, each option must be desirably difficult. And this is essentially making retrieval strength or the ability to recall much easier for the students. So as a quick example, if I ask you what is tomato ketchup and the choices I give you are a star, a tree, or a sauce, I'm not making the retrieval challenging. So what I need to do is to ensure the answers are very similar and hard to determine. So it's really pushing knowledge or activating schema and then strengthening it further. So when we look at our online multiple choice question quiz softwares that we might be using, please check carefully to see what responses are being generated to see if it's actually strengthening your students' recall. Anyway, that was a much larger ad lib than I had planned. Anyway, so how to use the book. So what, if you're lucky enough to get a copy, and I will record one or two other chapters in the book for the website, but in this book, Guide to Questioning, I explore what I've been learning about questioning and why I truly believe that designing and posing instructional interventions will change how you teach. My hope in my new book, Guide to Questioning, here is to show you how you can achieve this. As teachers, we have important choices influencing how we can support or hinder the learning process. So, for example, what kind of question supports knowledge retention and what questioning format elicits knowledge transfer? When should teachers pause? How long for? And when should teachers respond to an answer? It's not just a matter of what works. It's also a question of why and how. So my key objective is to provide you with some of this initial theory and turn the content into practical activities for you to complete as you read through the book. Now, in the audio recording on the website, so I'm currently recording this in September 2023. In November, I plan to share some resources from the book on the toolkit subscription, and I'll probably, as I develop the slides and cartoons, release these on the website and also one or two other aspects of the book recording for you also. Anyway, as for now, I'm going to leave things there. I'll also add a QR code to your download so that you can scan this and take part in the full research sample. And I hope to hear from you soon. So thanks for listening if you've reached this far. The answer to the question, which was how many questions are in this book. So if I give you the answer now and you're still listening, I'm just going to quickly dig it out. I forgot what page it's on. And I should know this off by heart by now, shouldn't I? Give me a moment. The answer is... Where is it? Hang on. Keep listening. Apologies. I told you this was raw. Okay. The answer, everybody, if you're still listening, is... For a book on Guide to Questioning, I have explicitly referenced 378 questions in the book. So the question is, did you get it right? If you do, let me know. But don't tell anyone else. Okay, bye for now.